Welcome to Studio Within Podcast. I'm Sarah. I'm the founder of WithSara Wellbeing Platform and a professional model. After a decade-long career working with incredible designers and clients in the fashion world's capitals, I turned into a passionate positive psychology practitioner. My experience has made it clear that happiness does not come from fame, money, and thousands of followers on Instagram. It comes from within. In this podcast, we will talk about what it means to be authentic. We'll share success moments and setback stories. We'll also discover how positive psychology tools can help you thrive. I'll share some practical steps so that you can put the science of well-being into action in your life. Sometimes it's just me chatting with you like this, and at times I'll bring in guests who really inspire me, both from the worlds of high fashion and positive psychology. I hope that my show will leave you energized and inspired to own your own story, create the life you want to live, and have some fun while creating it. Let's get thriving, shall we? Mental health is a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stressors of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her own community. This is the definition of mental health according to the World Health Organization. I want to wish you a happy Mental Health Awareness Month everywhere in the US. This is a month for raising awareness around different aspects of mental health. And also in the UK, there is a Mental Health Week in May. So let's take this month and kind of take a moment to maybe look in first, you know, what is going on with your mental health? Now that you're listening to this, you know, this definition of mental health, what's coming up for you? Do you feel like you're able to realize your own abilities? Are you able to cope well with the normal stressors of life? Are you able to work productively and very fruitfully? Does it give you something when you work? Does it make you feel good? And are you also able to make a contribution to your community around you? I love this definition of World Health Organization because it really shows that mental health is a combination of many things. Mental health doesn't just come from one thing, it comes from different things. And I feel positive psychology research is, for that reason, wonderful if we are thinking about how we can help ourselves be more productive at work, work really fruitfully, how we can feel like we are part of this larger community, how can we contribute, how we can really unlock our full potential, not just, you know, the normal things and doing things okay, but how can we actually start thriving and flourishing. This is what positive psychology is all about. But as we are often, when we're talking about mental well-being and mental health here in Studio Within, and everywhere in WithSara platform, I also do a lot of Instagram videos, also like, you know, giving you tips and things like that you can do and boost your mental well-being. I wanted to take a totally another perspective for this episode. If you know anyone in your life right now who might be languishing or suffering with something, they don't feel maybe like they are thriving, I'm creating this episode for you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and instead of sharing ideas on how you can take care of your mental well-being, which I do quite often here and on Instagram, I wanted instead to put the spotlight on how you can be with someone who is suffering. Why? Why would I do this? Well, here's the thing. In my experience, it is quite common when someone responds to the generic "how are you" question with, "You know what? Actually, I'm not okay. I feel like shit," you know? People often freeze. This happens quite often. It might happen internally or it might even happen externally. You just don't know what to say, right? It is not surprising that this is the reaction often. Even I've been sometimes in that situation where I'm like, okay, I don't know what to say now. It is uncomfortable because in our society, feeling good and happy is just, it's a fact, it's more accepted. I think things are changing. I see beautiful Instagram videos of people also, you know, sharing their struggles and showing that, you know, not everything is as happy all the time, which is very refreshing and it normalizes pain for us, right? But the fact is still that when someone responds to, hey, how are you? Oh my God, I'm good. I'm like, everything's going so well in my life. It is so much easier to respond to that than when someone is not feeling okay and expresses it. And given the current crisis happening in the world, you know, Ukraine war, global pandemic, global warming, I think it's even more important to stop to think how we face someone who has faced some terrible things and is suffering. I think we not only help others, we help ourselves also when we have more efficient ways to respond to someone's pain. Especially considering that relationships are essential for human thriving. We simply cannot do life in a mentally healthy way without social connections. So the more, this is what I believe, the more we have tools and tools to enhance our communication, we can help our relationship flourish. That's why I've come to realize that the way we are in conversations with people, because often we talk with people, right? This is the way we communicate and connect with people we love or who we work with, you know, not just the ones at family or at home, but really people we interact with at work. The way we are in these conversations has a huge impact on their and our mental well-being. I can say from my very recent experience that the difference my coaching skills have made in the way I communicate with my loved ones is huge in comparison to the old Zara, quick to judge mentality. This was something was quite easy for me to do, even though I was always kind and everything, but it was just like it didn't feel like I was really giving a moment for someone. It felt like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, blurt out what I wanted to say and not listen, you know, really carefully to someone. And coaching skills have been such a huge part in making my relationship better because for the fact that I've improved my ability to communicate. And here's the thing, especially in hard conversations. Approaching a person who is in pain or who is hurt in a way that makes them feel heard and seen instead of judged is not only super powerful for the connection between you two, but it also prevents the one suffering from feeling less like a victim, you know? We can, like, and I think I want to say here that we can never cure someone completely. You know, you should never have to carry a burden like that. But there are many ways that we can help others by the way we be in conversations. And I really want to focus on the word being. So what you will hear today in this episode is not going to be like, hey, here's what you can do. I'm going to offer you ways to be in conversation or in a moment with someone when they are clearly suffering and you're a little bit like uneasy perhaps about it. So if you have someone in your life who's currently suffering or not feeling really great at the moment mentally, I want to shine light on three coaching skills that will perhaps give you some ideas what you can do or say. I just said, I know doing, just being. So let me rephrase that. Coaching skills that will perhaps give you some ideas on what you can be or say next time when someone tells you that they don't feel okay, especially when they're ready to share their struggle with you. That moment when someone opens up to you and tells them that they are struggling or they are hurt, that is a precious moment because it has taken someone so much courage to open up to you. And I think we can never underestimate or try to pass that moment fast. We need to honor that moment. We need to honor and be in that moment in a way that deserves to hear that story that someone has. And here's the thing, very important. Please pay attention to what I'm going to say now. I want to acknowledge here that the tools and ideas that I'm about to share with you are not meant for treating mental illness. The ideas that I present in this podcast episode are not intended as a substitute for medical advice, counseling, or therapy. Very important to keep that in mind. Okay, so in the celebration of the mental health awareness, I actually don't know if you can even say celebrating mental health awareness. Let me know if that's not okay. Somehow it feels right to say it, but on the other hand, it doesn't. But anyway, for Mental Health Awareness Month, let's dive into this deeply important topic. How you can be with someone who is suffering. How can you respond in a more efficient way when you really don't know what to do when someone tells you that they are really hurting and they are not feeling great? here are my three ideas for you. Number one, practice deep listening. Deep listening. That's the kind of listening you might experience on a first date. It's listening to someone with a laser-like focus. It's like someone is on the stage with the spotlight on and you're really just looking on that spotlight. You're not thinking what's on the backstage. You're not thinking what's on the side. You're just fully focused on what you see in the spotlight. That is deep listening. You're not thinking what you want to say next, but instead you listen to hear more of what the person has to say. And here's the trick thing that I want to say that I have learned in my coaching training is that when we listen very deeply, we are also listening to what is not being said. So we don't only want to focus on the words that are being said to us, but what is not being said. And that requires deep listening. So believe it or not, listening is one of the most important tools for coaches. We practice this a lot when we do our training in the training institute where I've done my training. And in my opinion, listening is one of the most powerful gifts you can give to someone. Whenever I am with someone who is truly listening to me, I know it because I can feel it. It's one thing that really puts me on the edge when I witness someone not fully listening. You know what it makes me do when I experience that someone's not listening to me, especially when I want to open up about something a little bit more vulnerable? It makes me close up instantly. It doesn't make me want to open up anymore. It's like, okay, boom, done. Conversation finished. Let's look at a little bit what type of listenings there are. In the coaching training, I went through, we were taught three levels of listening. And in short, I want to tell you what they are. Number one, level one listening is this internal listening. This is where you are fully focused on your own agenda. This might mean like when you listen to someone, when you're in a conversation with someone, your attention is on yourself. The person is saying that. So what does this mean to me? It's about your own conclusions, judgments, and feelings. You know, it might be also like when a person X is telling you something that happened to them during the day, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I still need to do that. Good that you said that because, yeah, you know, I have this task as well that I have to do. Oh, good that you said that. My partner just told me that we have a date with our friends and I can't remember what the date was. And now you just made me, you know, you reminded me of that I need to check on this. And there's nothing bad about this. It's just a different kind of listening. These are examples of level one listening. You do hear what your friend is telling you, but you reflect that information right back at yourself. What is being said? What my friend just said? What does it mean for me? Reflecting back at yourself right away. And we need this. We need level one listening very often. I think one of the better examples is like, for example, when we are traveling, you know, when we're traveling, or when I think about myself traveling, you know, first time in New York, first time, you know, anywhere, Marrakesh, Dubai, anywhere. When I'm there and if I would be only just listening, you know, what's happening around me, I don't think it would serve me really well because I need to be alert. I'm like, okay, you know, here's the next route that I have to take. Okay, how do I get myself there? There's so much energy going into listening to my own mind chatter to make sure that, you know, I will find the right way. So I think that there's really a purpose for level one listening. Then we enter level two listening. What's that? This is the deep listening. This is when you listen to someone else, truly listen to them. Your attention is on the other person, not in your own mind chatter. You listen to the words they say and you are curious. You so want to ask more questions from that person because you're curious to hear more and you have the spotlight on them. And this is the level two listening, which you would probably on a first date, right? This is when you sit with someone on a restaurant and you're just so immersed in what they're telling you and you're just looking at them and you hear every word that they say. You want to ask more, you want to know more about them. And that's level two listening. It's beautiful. Even when I'm thinking about it, when someone's listening to you, that way you're like, oh my God, I feel so loved and seen and heard and understood, you know? And then the level three listening is a really powerful level three listening, which I think in everyday life, we rarely get to this level three listening state. This is more about your intuition. This is listening to your gut. And this often includes being able to listen to your senses. So I think about level three always, and it has to be very mindful. Like, you've got to be in a very mindful state of mind to be able to enter level three listening. And we are not going to talk about this level three listening today so much, but just for an example, just you know the difference. As an example, level three listening could be when you are with a group of friends or with your family, and you have this conversation going on. You know, there's a lot of people in the room, and you get this weird sense that something is not right. You know, so you just get this like, something is not right. Something that, well, it's not being said, but you also sense that there's something in the air that is just not right. You pick up something from the environment which gives you a gut feeling about something. And you can probably think about in your own life, you probably have this moment where you're just like, I feel weird about this, you know? And that's the level three listening. Sometimes it's referred to as a global listening. So you listen to everything that's happening around in the room. Now, let's go back to thinking about level two listening, which I think about as really the first and a powerful state of deep listening. What does it require of you in a conversation with someone you love who might be suffering? And why is this important to be, or why can this be helpful to be in level two? So, as I mentioned, deep listening requires you to be mindful. It requires you to mentally switch off any judgment, assumptions, or conclusions. It will require you to be curious. Listening to someone deeply requires you to bypass your ego, right? The ego is the one who wants to have all the answers and also know the best and know how to fix things and just, you know, help each other out and make sure that the person who's suffering knows that I can help them. That's what the ego wants. Now, when you listen to someone deeply, you're really not trying to fix anything in them. This is a very important point. And when you approach someone who is suffering from a place of deep listening and not fixing, just listening, you know what it will make them feel? It will make them feel like they're not broken. Instead, they are seen and heard. Their experience is heard and seen. So when you're in a space with someone who is suffering, pay attention to how you listen. Do you easily jump to fix things and tell them how they should do things? That's quite natural. We do that often. And with all the love for the men that I have in my life, this is very typical for men. I think we can all agree on that. And it's a beautiful way to show care. And I've learned to see that the other side of like why they want to do that. You know, they want to be the heroes and saving the queen of their life. That's all I like to think about it. And it helps me to find empathy. I'm like, you know, to my fiance, I'm like, you know, I need a hug. Like, I don't need fixing right now at all. I just need to vent about something that I feel hurt, you know? So taking a moment to just hear what one has to say is so powerful, and it's so underestimated in a culture where we are looking for quick fixes and easy ways out. Listening requires a lot of effort, and that effort is a very beautiful gift you can give to someone who's suffering. So this tool, this free, absolutely free listening tool, level two listening, or even you can enter level three listening, is really a relationship enhancing tool. Also, you have this gift you can give to someone who's suffering always available to you. So, you know, go ahead and try what an impact it makes. All right, that was about deep listening. Number two, how you can be with someone who is suffering. Hold space for all emotions. Okay, this one is really connected to listening. And I told you, we're going to talk about being, not about doing. So you might feel like, hey, you know, isn't this the same? But hear me out. Let's go for it. Whenever I get a bit emotional or sad, I sometimes hear, there's a few people in my life that say, don't cry, Sarah, don't cry. And this is a very well-meaning expression. I know it because these people love me who say this. I know it. It's a very well-meaning expression. But it's a bit dumb. Why? Because it makes me feel like crying is not accepted. Crying is bad somehow, or it makes things worse. I would like to declare here openly that crying is so incredibly healing. at least it is for me. It is one of the reactions that I have for both good and bad moments in life. My friends know this very well, that I get very easily touched. And this makes me tear up. When I'm hurt, I express my hurt by crying. Sometimes alone, sometimes in front of people. No matter how someone responds to their suffering, you know, whether you are crying or whether you are just closed up more or whether you go into a corner in yourself, there are so many ways that, you know, we all respond to our suffering. The point is not trying to fix it or stop it from happening. Unless, of course, again, if you're talking about someone being violent to themselves or someone to someone else, of course, these are, I'm really talking about, you know, normal stressors or normal pains in life. I'm not really going beyond that. So just keep that in mind. So what I want to say is that we don't want to stop these reactions or these emotions happening. What we want them is to let it be. And this is holding space for all emotions. What I mean that we can really learn to do that when someone is suffering in front of us. How can we hold space for all the emotions and all the reactions that we will be seeing in front of them? Susan David says in her TED Talk, "The Gift and Power of Emotional Courage," that research shows that when emotions are pushed aside or ignored, they become stronger. It is easier to say, "Don't cry," or "Don't be sad," for so many reasons. But I believe that one of the reasons it is so easy to say these things, it's because we are uncomfortable holding space for painful emotions. It's almost like we don't know what to do with them. That's why it's easy to say like, "Hey, don't do that. Do rather something else where I feel more comfortable." But that's not sustainable. And she talks about this emotional agility, and we need emotional agility, which in short is, according to her words, according to Susan David, is the ability to be with your emotions with curiosity, compassion, and courage. So if someone is suffering in your life right now, and how can you really hold this space for any emotions, is really about not forcing it to go anywhere. Don't jump and try to fix it. What if you just sit in silence and let it be there? If it means hugging, even if it means laughing, crying together, just being still. It is actually really hard to stay still and silent, but if you want to let someone feel what they are feeling and validate their feelings, it is one of the most powerful ways to be in a situation like that. And that actually is being with them, not trying to lead anyone anywhere. No fixing, no trying, no rushing, just being. And I will tell you that is hard. I remember also in the coaching training, we would see sometimes master coaches, you know, coaching practice clients, or, you know, one of us practice coach who are becoming coaches in the classroom in front of people, you know, for learning. And, you know, sometimes you see there obviously strong emotions occurring. And what I learned really from the beginning was that power that you really, the power that silence has is remarkable. It's unbelievable what happens when someone is, let's talk about crying in front of you, and you just sit still and just be. You holding space by not trying to victimize anybody or not trying to, yeah, like fix them or lead them anywhere. You just literally be, and you almost like, my hands are in front of me right now when I'm talking to you. It's like I'm holding the space for this emotion to just be. So perhaps it's a good moment to remind ourselves that sometimes silence is way more impactful than words. Holding space for emotions means that you be with what the person in front of you is experiencing and let them be guided by their emotions. And I really love how Susan David in the same TED Talk says that discomfort is the price of admission to a meaningful life. Discomfort is the price of admission to a meaningful life. So what if there's meaning behind or in front of a bit of a discomfort?
how uncomfortable are you willing to be in your next conversation when someone is suffering in front of you? Okay, so we've talked about deep listening. We've talked about holding space for emotions. You see, we are just listening. We are holding space. Now, what's the final one I want to offer for this podcast episode is a question. Ask, if you don't know what to do, when you see a strong emotion or you see someone is suffering and you really don't know what to do and you feel a bit overwhelmed, you might feel that discomfort, what if you ask, what does support from me look like to you now? When we don't know what to do or how to best be in present for someone who is suffering, one great way to approach such a situation is to just simply ask, what does support from me look like to you now? You know, it's okay not to know how to best be present for someone who's suffering. It is hard. So I want to also remind you to be compassionate to yourself. You know, you don't need to have all the answers. I think that's the main point I want to make with these three suggestions, is that when we approach a person who's suffering with more with curiosity and compassion, I feel like I've experienced that it's easier to be with someone in that moment because you don't need to have all the answers. How could you? You can't have the answers when someone's suffering. It's a very, very personal experience when someone comes to you, you know, like, for example, my brother might call me and he is just sad about something. You know, something happened to him and he's just really sad. There's no way in the world I could try to fix that because it's his experience and only he knows what is happening right now. And the best I can do, this is how I always look at it, the best I can do is to provide a space where suffering can happen in a safe way. And especially when I'm thinking about moments in my life where, you know, I've had moments where I felt really bad and was just really terrible. And whenever I'd have a friend, I remember one of the first times when I was leaving home Finland to Singapore. This is 12 years ago. And I was taking the flight, I was just sad. I've had my first breakup and it was just, I was like, I don't want to go, like New York. I wanted to go to New York, but I couldn't go there yet. And they wanted to send me to Asia. Like, my agency is like, why? Why would they send me there? And I was just lost in every single way. And one of my really good friends was sitting on the floor with me as I'm crying and just was like hugging me. I'm a hugger, so that works for me as well. Was just there. And then after a little moment, she just really clearly provided that space. And I don't know why that's 12 years ago, but it still somehow is in my mind because it just reminds me every day until now that when we are suffering, we don't need fixing necessarily when it's about these type of problems, you know, problems that we all go through in life. When we talk about self-compassion as well, you know, Dr. Kristin Neff's work, there's this, one of the elements of self-compassion is the fact that we need to acknowledge that it's common, it's human to have suffering around us and go through suffering. It makes us human. And that day I felt like, you know, it's okay to suffer because someone provided me a space where it was okay to cry and I didn't need to rush out of there if it didn't feel right. So practice deep listening, hold space for all emotions, and finally, if it feels right, ask, what does support from me look like to you right now? The best way to think about the impact of these ideas is to think about someone who is like this with you. You know, like my friend was 12 years ago and obviously many other occasions afterwards as well. But really imagine that something makes you feel pain or hurt. When you're open up about your experience, when you're vulnerable to someone, what's the impact on you when the person A, listens to you deeply, B, holds space for your hurt, and C, asks you, what does support from me look like to you right now? I think it's pretty powerful, and we can all learn these skills. We can all use this, and I hope you will get something out of these episodes. Well, one final note, the deeper you are listened to, the more seen, heard, and understood you will feel. That's just the reality, and I hope by using these tools, you will help someone from now on feel more heard, seen, and understood. Thank you for being here, and stay glowing.
Thank you for joining me today in Studio Within. Head over to witsara.com/podcast for all the show notes from today's episode. You can also find more information about me and what I do on witsara.com. It means the world to me that you've taken your precious time today and listened to this episode of Studio Within. So, how about we make most out of this? My question to you is, how can you turn an insight you had from today's episode into an action that you can put right into practice in your life today?